there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Trade deadline later on today, as Albert Breer pointed out, Monday morning quarterback. Probably not a lot of action going on at the trade deadline. Only seven teams are more than two games under 500 right now. And the seventh seed in the AFC, the Chargers, 4-3. The seventh seed in the NFC is the Niners at 4-4. I gave you updated odds today, and it surprised some people. Obviously, Buffalo is your Super Bowl favorite, according to DraftKings. Then the Eagles, then the Chiefs. The Niners are fourth on that list at 13-1. Cowboys, 15-1. And the Ravens, my Ravens, slowly creeping up at 18-1 after picking up Roquan Smith from the Bears. Albert Breer, the great reporter, lead content strategist for the Monday morning quarterback. Who's buying, who's selling today, Albert?
Well, you know, I wrote this on Saturday, Dan. I think the pass rushers are going to drive the highest end of the market today. And there are three in particular that teams have made calls on. That's Bradley Chubb from Denver, Brian Burns from Carolina, and Josh Allen from Jacksonville. I think you look at where those guys are in their contracts. That obviously has something to do with it. Regime changes. In all three places, you know, I think plays into it as well. But it's not going to be cheap to get those guys out of those places. I would say in the case of Allen and Chubb, it's going to take at least a first round pick, probably more than that. And I think in the case of Brian Burns, it would take more than two first round picks. So if you want a pass rusher, I think that those are the three that are sort of the bells of the ball. And if you want to talk about teams that are out there looking for pass rushers, Rams, Chiefs, Titans, Ravens, the Eagles still could be. They sort of already got their guy in Robert Quinn. But if the right deal comes along, you know, Howie Roseman's always taking advantage of those sorts of opportunities. So I think, you know, if you look at the very highest end of the market, that's what you're talking about right now.
Kareem Hunt on the move?
Yeah, I think that the Browns are going to try to see if there's something out there for him. Obviously, he's in a contract year, and he wasn't happy with the way contract negotiations went. He would cost, I think, about a fourth-round pick. So if there's a team out there that's willing to give up a four to go and get him for, you know, half a season, I think that's something that could get done. And we know the teams that have been out there sort of sniffing around running backs. The Bills have been out there sniffing around running backs. The Rams have been out there sniffing around running backs. You know, that's another one that I think Philly could be involved in. You know, obviously there was this stuff out there with them and Kamara. And so I think that those would be sort of the three teams that I would look at in the running back market.
But I wonder, you have certain teams, and you pointed this out, that everybody's sort of on the periphery. You're kind of in the mix. And Like, are the Rams a buyer? Do they still feel like, hey, we could get OBJ back and we could trade for Kareem Hunt? We can still be a player in an NFC that seems to be a little more wide open than the AFC.
Yeah, I think it's that. And it's also like just the window that they're in. You know, I know there's probably some perception out there that the window's closed on them, and maybe it has, you know, but I just know like the way that they're operating right now is they're all in on that group of four players they have, you know, in Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Jalen Ramsey and obviously Aaron Donald. And when those guys are gone, I think there's a pretty decent chance Sean McVay is going to be gone too. So you're not just talking about like what's going to happen when you filter those players out and building beyond that. Hmm. You're also about talking about potentially having to replace a coach if it comes to that. So, you know, I know some people would look at it and say, well, at some point they have to hold on to their ones and they can't keep dealing their picks away and all of that. And all of that makes sense.
But 100%. Why would McVay go? Why wouldn't he stay? You know, Pete Carroll stayed around for yet another rebuild there in Seattle.
Because I think at some point he's going to want to take a break. You know, I just do. Like, knowing what I know, I think he's going to at some point want to take a break. There's obviously going to be a lot of money out there for him in television. I know he wants to kick the tires on that. Yeah. You know, I would say if I had to ballpark it, I would say he has anywhere between 1 and 5 years left with the Rams. And I do think a big piece of this is going to be dictated. Maybe the whole thing is going to be dictated by those four players I mentioned and the core of that team. I do not think that he's going to be sticking around. Now, this is my opinion, but I don't think he's going to be sticking around for the post Matthew Stafford era of the Rams. And I mean, I'll say this too. We know Aaron Donald probably only has a couple of years left, right? Like, we sort of have been through that with him. Cooper Kupp, we'll see. You know, he's got a lot of mileage now. He is still under 30, so we'll see how long he can go. Jalen Ramsey's there. And I just don't think Stafford's going to be one of these guys who hangs around until he's 40. I just don't. You know, he's pretty beat up. He's taken a lot of hits. And so, you know, could I see Matthew Stafford being there maybe 2-3 more years? I could see that being the case too. So I think that's all kind of part of why the Rams do feel urgency to build right now, because, you know, this is a group that they've got for the here and now. And yeah, it could get ugly after that. But, you know, while you've got those guys in the building, it makes sense to maximize what you have.
And I always go back to when the Niners got Christian McCaffrey, how close the Rams were to getting Christian McCaffrey. And do we know the details of?
Yeah. I mean, I can give you their offer if you want it.
Sure.
the offer. So the Niners got him for a 2, a 3, a 4 in 2023, and a 5 in 2024. The Rams offer was a 2 and a 3 in 23, a 4 and a 5 in 24, and Cam Akers. So the tiebreaker there for the Panthers was that fourth round pick was in 2023 with the Niners and in 2024 with the Rams. The reason for that is because the Rams don't have a fourth round pick in 2024, because last year they traded it for Sony Michel after Cam Akers got hurt. So it's kind of interesting the way all that ties together with the running backs. But the Rams put Cam Akers in the package, hoped that that would put them over the top. And obviously it didn't. The Panthers wanted more picks in the here and now. And obviously that can tie into to certain people's job security, you know, like the general manager, Scott Fitter, does he know that he's going to be around in 2024? You know, he doesn't know that. Like, so if he knows he's going to be bringing in a new coach and working with a new coach, it behooves him to make them as competitive as he can in 2023. There are a lot of moving pieces there, but that was the Rams' offer, was a 2 and a 3 this coming year in 23, a 4 and a 5 in 2024 in Cam Akers.
But, you know, we love to follow. There's a trend. You know, I always go back to the greatest show on turf. Then everybody wanted to be like, you know, the St. Louis Rams there offensively. And when it comes to winning now, the Rams said, here's the blueprint. This is what we're going to do. We're going to win now. Do the Niners subscribing to that? Buffalo subscribing to that? The Chiefs, you know, that they're going to go all in to try to win this year?
Yeah, I do think teams are – I think this is an astute observation, Dan. Like, I do think teams are operating in windows more now. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like, okay, we've got a certain group of players that we can win with, and we need to do everything that we can to win with those players while we still have them, because the nature of the sport, you know, it takes a couple of years for a guy to hit his prime, And then how long does he really have? You know, a guy who lasts like Von Miller has lasted, that's an outlier. You know what I mean? Like most guys, like star players, you have like a 5 or 6 year window where they're going to be, you know, like giving you prime production. And so if you've got a couple of a bunch of those guys hitting that window all at the same time, like what the Rams had, then it makes sense to maximize it. And I think that's where the Niners shift has been. They actually, if you go back before the Trey Lance trade, like they were very different than the Rams. Like they were very conservative with their picks and they weren't this team that was going all in. And it took them a little while to build that core. Well, now they have that core. That's where the shift in philosophy is. And so now if you're the Niners, you look at it, it's like Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. Like that's why they're going all in now, because they've got like a crew of players there that are right in the prime of their career, the same way the Rams have. And so they feel like it's important that they capitalize on that small crew of players now.
He's Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback. Let me stay with the Niners. If Jimmy Garoppolo gets to the Super Bowl.
I should
Bowl,
mention George Kittle, too. I wouldn't want yes. him to take it personal yeah. that I left him out of the group.
Okay. If the Niners get to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G, his future is what?
It's so complicated. You know what I mean? Like, it would be interesting to see the opportunity that's out there for him, because he's got such a good situation now. And, you know, assuming they get Deebo Samuel healthy, now you're talking about Deebo Samuel and ascending Brandon Ayuk, who I has been excellent, right? Like, and I think is going to be a top 15 receiver in the NFL with a little more time. The best tight end in football, arguably all around tight end in football, and George Kittle. And now Christian McCaffrey behind you. And an offensive line that, if it grows up, could wind up being one of the best in football. Now it's going to be on those three guys in the interior to grow up.
Yeah, but what do you do with Trey Lance and his development here?
And that's the thing. The hard thing about the Trey Lance thing to me is they were willing to go through this year and do what it took to get answers on him, right? Like, they wanted to have clarity by the end of this year. And I know there were people in that building who thought, like, yeah, like in July, Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback. But we think that, like, by the time we get to December and January, Trey Lance will be the better quarterback, if that makes sense, right? Like, so there was a feeling inside that building that was, if we give him the time, he'll get there. We just got to give him the time. Are you willing to do that again? You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing is, like, because of this injury, and it's really unfortunate, it's like now you don't have those answers. It's not just him getting hurt. It's the fact that you don't have the answers that you were trying to get to. And can you get those answers before you've got to make these decisions in March? Probably not, right? Like, so that's what's complicated about this situation. I still think there's belief in Trey Lance in that building, and I still think they probably go to Trey Lance in 2023. But I think it's more complicated now, and especially more complicated if Jimmy plays well. And remember, if Jimmy wants to take some of this stuff personally, and I think he's filed some of it away, you know, he has a no tag clause in his revised contract. So they can't stop. They can't do anything to stop him from getting to the market.
I could see the victory parade if they won the Super Bowl, where they would have Jimmy in his own car and just tell him to keep driving.
Like, you know, it would be perfect. You know, it'd be perfect. If he went back to New England and there was a quarterback competition between Mac Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo in New England.
Well, there already is a quarterback competition with Bailey Zappi.
We could have a three-way competition.
Yeah, that's exactly. Give me the bad team that's in the best position.
Bad team that's in the best position. I really sort of am starting to like where the Bears are. I know that's probably not a popular opinion. It's not my bias to Justin Fields, but Fields has played better. They're competing their tails off. I don't know how much you've watched them.
I watched them against Dallas. I mean, they made it interesting for a while.
They fight, right?
Yeah,
like they fight. Like and you see it, like they're one of these teams. If you don't play well against them, they'll beat you, you know? And now we have a little more context on the Commanders in that Thursday night game. Maybe the Commanders aren't as bad as we thought they were. And the Bears were in it with them, you know? So I just like sort of look at like how young guys are buying into the program. And then I look at where they're going to be after this year. They did pretty well in the draft, Dan, without having a first round pick last year. Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon in their secondary look like they're going to be real players. And they're going to have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds and 7 picks in the first 5 rounds and over $100 million to spend in free agency next year with a quarterback that it looks like they're starting to figure out how to use him. And it looks like he's starting to take steps to getting better. And so, like, among the bad teams that are in the best position, I'd probably still put Jacksonville number one because Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence, and I think he's going to get there. But I think the Bears have sort of entered the conversation there as a team that's going to be really intriguing going into 2023.
Who's your October VP, the MVP of October?
Yeah, I think it was Todd that gave me the warning about this. So it's like that takes some real thinking because, like, September's out the window on that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Got to be Josh Allen, right?
I thought Geno Smith might have been.
Geno's really good.
Yeah. October VP.
Yeah, I would go Josh Allen. It's the way he played in Kansas City, right? Like that drive at the end of the first half in Kansas City was ridiculous. And I don't think anybody came out of like that game talking about that drive at the end of the first half. But what were they at the 10, right?
Yeah.
It didn't matter. And that to me is like, when I look at Buffalo right now, it looks like they're playing with this massive margin for error that you almost never see in the NFL. Like, I think I came on here, in the summer and said the Bills sort of remind me in certain ways of the 07 Patriots. And the 07 Patriots played with that margin for error, right? Like, it just felt like Brady could throw 3 picks in a game and it wouldn't matter. They were just that good, right? And not that happened, but like that was where they were. Against the Packers, everything looked so easy for them. And they were sleepwalking in the second half. And Josh Allen threw a couple, he used the word boneheaded interceptions, right? And it didn't matter. And I just think like things look so easy for them with Josh Allen back there, the way he's like lifted up his teammates, the way the run game's starting to get going now because of him. I just think like you have to play the Buffalo Bills a certain way now to have any chance against them. And so much of that is based on who their quarterback is. They're a good team all around and they've gotten better. And I mean, it's insane to think that their best defensive player hasn't played a snap yet. You know, that's Tre'Davious White. Yeah. I look at like what Josh Allen's done for that place. It's hard for me to go to any other place but Josh Allen as my October VP, yeah. MVP. Is October that, did I pronounce VP. That right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's a little easier, November VP.
So you kind of merged the M there, November VP.
September VP. October VP just is, I'm having some troubles. I'm glad that it's gone, November VP. I'll leave you with this. Where do you stand on asking questions that may not be directly related to football, like Tom Brady with his divorce? It, in a press conference setting or sitting down with Tom Brady, how much of that is fair game?
So it's a tough one. I think like their personal lives are their personal lives until it starts to affect their professional lives. And when it affects something that you're covering.
But how do we know it's affecting him?
And that's the thing. That's the gray area. And that's why, honestly, that's such a big part of like what I do is like in building relationships with people. I always tell people, I'll say like, if I have something sensitive that I'm going to write, I'm going to come to you first. And I think too often we look at these things as being confrontational when more often than not, I think what the reporter's job to do is not just to grill somebody, it's to give that person a chance to give their side of the story. And if they don't want to give that side of the story, that's fine. But there's also like a form to doing that too. And there's a way to do that. And if I don't have a relationship with somebody, then I'm probably more likely to go and get after him in the press conference on it. And that's naturally going to be a more confrontational setting because of all the cameras and all the people in the room and everything else. If I do have a relationship with somebody, I will always pull that person aside if I have that sort of question for him and ask him and not go right on the record. That's just the way I do it. I'm not saying there's any right way or wrong way to do it, but I think treating these people with empathy and as human beings is such an important piece of what we do and gets lost so often now in the way the press conferences are beamed onto the internet live and everything else and everything becomes a meme. And, I just think you know, like having empathy for the other person and the situation that they're in, if you show that, usually the person doesn't mind you asking the question.
Tom Brady is with the Buccaneers next year in TV or other?
I'm tempted to say other. I mean, we talked about San Francisco.
Other team?
I mean, I don't think it's impossible. If this circles the drain in Tampa,
because now he can play. That his wife left him because he wouldn't stop playing.
I will say this: like, I've thought about the idea of San Francisco, right? And like, if they decide Trey Lance isn't ready and Jimmy wants to leave, and Jimmy leaves, like, the Niners have had this discussion. The Niners had this discussion this year. Yeah. Like if Tom was available to us, would we do it? Like, they had this conversation this year, and the light was sort of left on for that. You know what I mean? Like, so if you're San Francisco, I mean, I think there's a competitive part of him that, like, if the Niners like decided we want to make a run at Tom Brady with the core that we have, and we see how, like, the urgency with which they've sort of built their team, you know, like, I think that would be really tempting for Tom. The problem now is, like, what about the kids? And I know for all everything that's going on.
Are you talking about Trey Lance? Like, what about the kids?
No. But I do know, like, a major part of Tom's decision to go to the Buccaneers, not the Chargers, in 2020 was because he's got his son Jack lives in New York, and it would be much easier for him to get up to see Jack on off days in New York coming from Tampa than it would be coming from LA. So, like, I think that piece of it is important to him as well. And so I think some of the idea of, like, him playing again could be circumstantial based on what is out there for him. Because I don't think, like, this is a situation where he doesn't think he can play anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, he probably believes that he could play at 46 years old. Whether or not he has the drive for it, I can't say. I think he's the only one that can say whether or not he wants to do it that badly. And I do think the family part of it would be, you know, a pretty significant consideration for him.
And once again, you're not reporting this. We're just,
yeah, don't stick report, colon, yeah. Niners to pursue, radio, whatever.
Good to talk.
I've stepped in too many of those ditches.
good to talk to you, Albert. Thanks for joining us, as always.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
That's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist at the Monday Morning Quarterback. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. you know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
Let me play Jim Harbaugh's response for what happened on Saturday in the tunnel with Michigan, Michigan State.
An apology will not get the job done in this instance. There should be serious consequences for the many individuals that are culpable. And on behalf of the 2022 Michigan football team, our players, our coaches, our staff, our university, this has been a very traumatic experience.
He said that there's an ongoing police investigation. With more on that, let me bring in Kyle Austin. He covers Michigan State basketball and football for M Live, and he was there in the tunnel and witnessed what happened between Michigan and Michigan State. Kyle, thanks for joining us. How can you update us on where we are right now?
Where we are right now is really, it still seems like kind of an evolving situation. You know, more video has kind of trickled out over the last couple of days that shows a lot of different things going on and a lot of different players. So Michigan State, as of right now, has suspended four of those players indefinitely. We're waiting on a police investigation, too. I mean, by University of Michigan police, that's ongoing, and they'll be deciding if there's any charges. But you know, certainly don't think we've seen and heard all there is to hear about this.
What did you see?
So I was about halfway up the tunnel in a little room off to the side where we do interviews. And I'm watching Michigan State players come up pretty uneventfully for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of a big mob of players heading my way. And it's clear there's something in the middle. But there's about 10 or 15 Michigan State players there that are all shoving, you know, a couple kicking, a couple throwing some punches, and then Michigan player finally kind of sports out of there and gets off to the side to safety. So, you know, whole thing lasted probably about 30 seconds, but a lot of Michigan State players kind of ganging up on one Michigan guy.
Anything lead up to this other than a lopsided win by Michigan and the rivalry between these two?
Pretty much just those two things, probably a rivalry that I think has gotten a lot more heated and a lot more toxic in the last 4 or 5 years. And, this situation is totally on the Michigan State players, but the Michigan tunnel situation is kind of a cauldron for this type of thing. It's a narrow tunnel. It's a long tunnel. Both teams have to go up it. And, you know, they were in close proximity and during a very heated time. And it was just kind of a perfect storm for this to happen, I think.
Here's the Michigan State head coach, Mel Tucker.
Michigan State football is about integrity, discipline, unselfishness, toughness, and accountability.
the incidents involving a small group of our players do not represent our culture.
I think Jim Harbaugh said he had not heard from Mel Tucker that there was no apology to him. Do you have anything on that, Kyle?
As of yesterday, when Mel Tucker spoke, he confirmed he had not called Jim Harbaugh. He did apologize publicly, said he's sorry, but as far as directly to Jim Harbaugh, as far as I'm aware, that's not happened.
And police charges, what do you think the possibility is that they're filed and that you could actually go through with something like this, an assault?
I think there's a pretty decent chance. If you look closely at the video, in one of the instances, you've got a player swinging a helmet. Not a lawyer, but my understanding is you're talking about adding a weapon now to the situation, which I think increases the likelihood. And, you know, look, this didn't happen on the field. You know, this was off the field in a separate area. So I think the idea that this is players in a game kind of goes out the window once the game's over and you're off the field. I think they're treated like anybody else.
Yeah, I just wonder what was said. It's one thing you might be jawing back and forth, but there had to be, it felt like some trigger words there. And then all of a sudden, not that that, you know, means you can go attack somebody, but no, do we know?
I agree. That the one thing that's missing from here is what precipitated it. I didn't see what started this. I haven't seen any video that showed what started it. I agree. It was probably some words, and that doesn't justify what Michigan State players did, but we still don't really have a clear picture of what really kind of set this thing off.
Kyle, thanks for joining us, and good luck covering this.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net. With some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Jim Nantz joining us, the Hall of Famer. He called the Steelers and the Eagles on Sunday. Been a part of CBS's coverage of March Madness since 1986. And he called his first Final Four, I believe, in 1991. Next year's Final Four is in Houston. Jim went to Houston 40 years after Houston's run to the national title. A little symmetry there, Jimmy. All right, I see what you're doing there. When's the first time you thought about retiring from March Madness?
It was a while back. Great to be with you, my friend. I actually thought I might do it in 21, but that was a COVID year where we somehow, the NCAA put together an NCAA tournament all in Indianapolis with just sparse crowds. They limited tickets, and it just didn't quite feel like the time I wanted to do it. And I knew Houston was out there. I wanted it to be on, nothing against Turner. They've been phenomenal partners. But one year, we'll call the game on Turner, and then the next year it's on CBS, and they alternate. I just thought I should call my last basketball game on CBS, and there was Houston. And by the way, you said 40 years since our championship. We lost in the championship to NC State, as you know, April the 4th, 1983. I was in the stands as a fan. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, I'm going to go out with Houston winning the championship. Ooh. We're preseason number three. Okay. With Kelvin Sampson doing remarkable things. We got a great program. And would it be, I mean, for me, it would be unbelievable to be able to call a Houston championship and take off the headset.
Yeah, NC State and Jim Valvano, that couldn't happen now. What NC State did against Houston, could it? Because of the shot clock, you know, that they, you know, Jim was able to strategize.
The way that they won. It was different. It wasn't a shot clock then. I think that we see seeds like what State was. They were a 9 seed to win it. And, you know, we had UConn a few years ago that won it in a similar range. In 2014, we see some miraculous runs to the Final Four. I mean, it was an incredible night. I got to tell you, you asked me when did I first think about giving it up, and I'm so comfortable with it and excited about it and blessed beyond belief that I got to call it for this many years. It'll be 32 championship calls. Behind that, and it means probably nothing to anybody. I'm not sure it means anything to me, but when I took over for Brent, who I dearly respect and love, and Dick Emberg had done it before Brent. And Gary Bender was in there too, who I respect. But Brent and Emberg called 6 championships each. Next April in Houston will be my 32nd. So, I mean, I don't want to be greedy, and I've gone on for a long time, and I'm grateful for it. It was time for someone else to do it, and it was time for me to be home more often. And that was the real central motivation for me was to try to get back a little time, because I've had 3 events, 3 sports a year that I've tried to manage. And it's been a lot of time away from my kids, and they need me.
You've been able to call, you know, obviously all the golf as well. But if you're looking at the sport that is going to give you a great story every year, would it be March Madness or would it be the Masters?
Well, it's pretty hard to beat March Madness because there's so many stories and everyone's involved. Every corner of the country has some sort of tie to a conference or a team. And it definitely captures the country's attention. So I love it. I'm going to miss it. But the Masters to me is the thing that is the deepest in my heart. I mean, I've never chosen one sport as my favorite event to do, but I think everyone knows that the Masters is something I feel a real personal tie to. It was the one event that when I was 11 years old, I turned to my mom and dad and said, that's what I'd like to do one day. I'd like to be one of those voices. I was watching a Masters tournament. I want to do that. And, I've been so fortunate that I'm still living that childhood dream, even into my 60s. So it's been pretty amazing. You know how long I want to do the Masters for. That remains central, as does the NFL for many, many more years with Tony. We were going to do this hopefully another decade or so, or maybe a little beyond. But the Masters, I would like to do it 51 times, as bizarre as that sounds, because my 51st Masters would be the 100th playing of the Masters. And I'd like to be there to see the end of the first century. And that's just a little goal that I have in the back of my head. I'm through 37 right now. So 14 to go, hopefully.
Did you just announce your Masters retirement?
I did.
Okay. I did. This just okay, in.
There you have it.
Yep.
Put it on tape.
Yep. Jim Nance in 14 years. That'll be it. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, by the
you
way,
made news.
Yeah, we did. We have a Jim Nance game that Paulie wants to play. All right, Paulie.
So Jim,
ask the question.
Jim, we don't know exactly where you grew up. We did a little bit of research. I know you lived in many different places, but we're going to guess who was your favorite athlete when you were like 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say.
Well, wait, he grew up in Virginia, New Orleans,
New Jersey. Is that correct?
North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina, born. Yes, you're right. New Orleans, Moraga, California, Colts Neck, New Jersey. We moved around. My dad kept getting moved up the corporate chain, so we saw a lot of different parts.
Okay, Jim Nance's first favorite athlete. Paulie, you go first.
I feel good about this. I'm going to go Pete Maravich.
Pete Maravich?
Oh, that's a big one. He was playing at LSU when I was in New Orleans. He's up there high.
Seton?
I had the exact same thought. Pistol Pete.
Get out of here.
I'm looking at him right now to make sure that the time frame matched up. I swear.
Okay. Fritzy?
I know Houston didn't come until later, so this is going to be a far field, but I'm going to go Earl Campbell.
Okay. Marv, you
too
got
late.
One?
Yeah, that's too late. Yeah. But I love Earl. Yep.
Marv?
I'm going to go with then known as Lou Alcindor.
Oh. I'm going to go with Archie Manning.
Wow. I loved Archie. Still do. I love that man.
Favorite athlete growing up, Jim Nance, your first favorite athlete?
Roger Staubach.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have ever guessed that one, but I love Roger. He knows that. Yeah, I've told him. I've become a friend. We've had some meals together and great regard. But Julius Erving was a big favorite of mine, too, as a kid. He was playing for the Nets when I was living in New Jersey. And I just love the basketball and watching him play and gracious way he treated people. And of course, in golf, I had Jack, Arnie, and Tom Weisskopf. I love Tom Weisskopf. He reminded me of my dad. He had this stature and this presence about him. It was very regal, stood straight, had this beautiful, gorgeous golf swing. He just passed away a couple of months ago. And yeah, I love Tom Weisskopf. I'm going to do a Masters special on Tom this year. So those are a few of my favorite things, as they say in Sound of Music. Yeah.
Weisskopf, great golf designer, and probably should have won more on tour. But it's easy to say that. But then he's going against some of the greatest golfers of all time. Like, you should have won more, Tom. You were more talented or as talented.
Well, he should be. I know this isn't something that's probably on everybody's hit list right now, but it's on mine. He should be in the World Golf Hall of Fame for all the things that he did as a golfer who had enough wins by today's standards to be in the Hall of Fame. Won a major at Troon in 73, coming up on the 50-year anniversary, and his golf architecture. So he saw, and he's a broadcaster too, by the way. So he saw the game through a lot of different lenses, and he was excellent at everything that he did. I'm actually going to be with Jack on Thursday. And Lanny Watkins and Tony Jacklin this week, because I'm going to tape a special and talk to them about Tom, who I actually was honored to be asked to deliver his eulogy at his funeral. So very fond of him. You know, it's weird when you have these heroes and you actually grow up, Dan, and this is, I know it's same for you. If we get to know them, get to meet them,
you know,
so you have that awkward, I've got to get past that stage of, I'm that little boy who looks up to them. And now, like, they know you, who you are. They know your name. You have their phone number and they're your friends. Like, I don't care how old you are. There's still a thrill to know these people that you grew up idolizing. And that's in sports. And it's also in broadcasting for me. I got to know all of my heroes in broadcasting. And, you know, you were talking about Normandy a minute before I came on the air. You know, like Jack Whitaker was on that list of, you know, for me, of McKay and Summerall and Enberg and Gowdy and Shankle and Jackson and all these guys. You know, Jack Whitaker attended our wedding, which happened to be on the 68-year anniversary of the day that he actually stormed the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah.
He was an American hero. He fought for this country. He was in the battles on the shores of Normandy. So, yeah, it's, I don't care how old you are. The people that you look up to and you try to model your life after, then you'll eventually get to meet them. It's one of the great gifts in life. And
yeah, don't take it for granted. Now you're one of those people.
Well, I don't think of it that way at all, but I think of me being someone that's trying to represent them. I will say that. I want to represent them well. Those people that meant a lot to me and inspired me, I want to make them proud. I'll just put it that way. That's the best I can hope for.
Great to talk to you. Hope the kids are good.
Always, always. Thanks. Everything's well. Thank you, my friend. And let's do it again soon.
Well,
appreciate you all.
We hope to cross paths. Always great to talk to you, Jim.
Thanks,
thank you,
thanks,
buddy.
Steve.
That's Jimmy Nance. Jim Nance. And been part of CBS's coverage of March Madness since 1986.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.